Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray now the same spirit that inspired to written in the first place, the same spirit that was sent on that day of Pentecost, will teach it to our hearts. So give us ears to listen, minds to understand, the hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked forward to something really, really exciting, but at the same time, you're nervous about it? You know it's going to be great. You know it's going to be brilliant, really. But also, you're a bit nervous. You're a bit not concerned because you're not quite sure what it's going to be like. Have a think for a minute. And then you can tell me all about your woes. Have a think. Okay. Something you were looking forward to but nervous about at the same time. Yeah, go on. By the beach. Actually, really exciting thing. Really exciting thing, but not quite sure what it's going to be like.
Yeah, nervous by
what? Fair enough. Yeah, yeah, but you like going away on Bible the beach yourself. Yeah, good. Yeah, go on. I'll come down.
Country race and Young Voices Choir I went to go to.
Oh, yes. So exciting thing, nervous as well. Actually, a good concert's a good example, isn't it? You've prayed, you practice and practice and practice. You're really looking forward to it, but you go, yeah.
Going back a while, the driving test.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that, actually. Yes, that's a good point. I wasn't excited about my driving test in the slightest, actually, I have to say. But, you know, I know you're on, but it's the driving, it's the thing afterwards, isn't it? It's the, you think, yes, go on.
It's a funny thing, that the pregnancy and the delivery.
Yes.
I'm so excited to see the baby, but nervous when we go into the operation theater on that parenting and everything that forward.
Okay.
That is the thing.
I think I can't speak personally on this particular one, but I think Joe would agree. So yes. Yeah, come.
Secondary school.
Yeah. I think we'll leave it at that. But exciting thing, but nervous as well. It's ones at the back as well. Hello. You go what? I can't hear you.
Went to France.
Going to France. So you're nervous about it, but excited as well.
Yeah.
It's the thing, you see. It's lots of things that we can be excited about and know it's going to be good, but when you know it's how you get there and or what's going to happen and what's it like and that sort of thing. And the disciples are the same thing, really, to an extent. They probably felt the same way. They'd been waiting in a room for 10 days. They knew that something was going to happen. They knew that something special was happening, had been promised, but they didn't really know what it was. Not really. They had clues, I think, but not really knowing. And that passage that Mercy read a few moments ago tells us about the events of the first Pentecost. And we read this. But when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They had obeyed God, Jesus' command to wait. When? Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them, on each one of them. So what I thought we'd do this morning is reenact that day of Pentecost. So, you're all disciples. If you're not a disciple, you should be soon. So if you're all disciples, we're all gathered in one room. So that's you all sorted. That's that part of the story sorted. Now, wind. I need one volunteer. Right, just it's not a problem. It's not a difficult thing. Hello. Well, yeah, look. If I said to you, there's something else you could do in a minute, would that help? No, you're going to do the wind. So there's all right. You can come out again. Right. Okay. Wait. So you're going to be wind. Stay there, but for a minute. I'm going to need to get a prop. At this point, we need an almighty big wind. So I think they thought this would do it. So what we'll do is we place that in there.
He's not in charge.
He's going to stand in the middle of the church, and I'll bring it across. Bring it over like that. Like that. And hopefully I'm not going to get too tangled up with anything that's in the way. Come on. No, we're all right. I knew I should have. Oh, there we go. Right, that's perfect. Right. So you're the big wind. Yeah. All these people need the force of a big wind on them. So what you need to do is spread it out. So what you need to do is just go aim and just keep going like that. Is that all right?
Yeah.
If I turn it on, and then we might need Maxicum. Oh, there you go. And then that should be a big wind that everyone will feel. Well, I can feel it, yes. Feel it. Just keep going. Can you feel that over in the corners?
It should be a sound, like.
Shh. Can you feel that? No. You don't seem very enthusiastic. I asked about my winds.
It is.
Yeah. No, it's amazing, isn't it? Oh, that's fine. Yeah, don't walk too far. So you're just. This is, look, can I just say at this point, this is probably the only time I'm ever going to say this in church. John Lewis, come on. This is good quality wind, this is.
Shall we move this up and go over there?
No, you just stay in the middle, because like, you've got to be at the front as well, you see. Everyone...
Is John Lewis the sponsor?
Yeah, I think so. It's all about John Lewis. You see, I know. Right, okay, we've tried that. Should we put that down?
Oh.
Well done. So round of applause for trying. We'll put that, leave that there. Right. So that's wind. I have a feeling my reenactment of the day in Pentecost isn't going well. I need two volunteers for flame. So one, that's one. Yeah, come on. Stand there. Now, what we're looking for, guys, is flames of fire on everyone's head.
Where's the mattress?
But not literally, don't worry, it's fine. Let me get some fire. I reckon these... I'm sorry, flames of fire. Goes to the middle. No, don't light anyone. Now just click it so it's on, and then when you click it on, everyone should get a flame of fire on top of them. Go on, off you go.
No,
careful. Yeah, that's a bit close for comfort. Right, well done, that's it, okay, that'll do. What? Very good, right, round of applause. Hands down, thank you very much, well done. You see, the thing is, as Daniel rightly pointed out, you can't actually reenact it. I know the flame, the wind was deliberately rubbish, and the flame was deliberately rubbish, just to make the point. But even if I had the biggest fan on earth, it still wouldn't have worked. Even if I got flamethrower, as someone suggested. I wish I'd thought of that, actually. Then that wouldn't have worked either, because that's not the point, is it? Because the thing is, when we look at the passage properly, it's all about senses. So what they did is they heard the sound of a blowing of violent wind. And it's a sound like. So then their minds are thinking, I don't know what this is. I have no category to put this into. The closest I come up to is a violent wind. That's what it's like. So Luke, who wrote this and probably spoke to the people, that's what he decided. It's the closest thing he could come to. And then the other one is, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. So you did all this thing. It seemed to be. It wasn't that it was, but again, the closest they could get to was flames of fire. So it's like the wind, it's like the fire, but it's something strong and dynamic and so on. And the reason I think it engages the senses is because it's an all-consuming event. That fan is not an all-consuming event. Those flames are all-consuming, although they might have been if we'd have kept going. When the Spirit comes and is ever present in our lives, I mean, God himself becomes all-consuming within us. God himself was present in that upper room, in that room, and that closed room on that day. He had come to town amongst those disciples. And that's the key thing. It's not about the flame. It's not about the wind. These are scripturing things, just so we can get an idea of how powerful and strong these things are. That sound of wind is all they heard. All they heard is the power of God enabling them to go out and fulfill Jesus' command, and Jesus' command to be witnesses to all nations. That's the job. That's why the Spirit came. Jesus promises the Spirit so the disciples could go out. Now, obviously, it's enabling of all sorts of other things, but that's essentially the job. The power of God that enables us to serve our local community, because we have the same Spirit, don't we? So those tongues of fire were working within each individual disciple, almost like purifying them, empowering them. It says, don't forget, Jesus baptized, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's an enabling thing. It's almost the disciples being made clean, being sanctified, being washed, ready for future service, ready for the job that he's given them to do. And he's washed them thoroughly. So if you believe, we're talking a lot about the songs about trusting in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. If you believe and trust that Jesus is Lord and Saviour, then the Spirit dwells within you. It's automatic. It's what happens. We don't have to ask. He comes, and that's what happens. We might need to talk about Holy Spirit in a different way, but in terms of, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus this morning, you will have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. The day you believed in Jesus, or all of us believe in Jesus, is the day you yourself had your own personal day of Pentecost, because you saved and you received the Spirit at the same time. It's a one-off, never to be repeated event. That's not to say we can't ask the Spirit's help and so on, but as a you can't do it again. It's a one-off, never to repeat it again. But it would have been pretty pointless for the disciples, the Holy Spirit, to have been sent, only for the disciples to say, no, we're going to stay here. I know what you said, Jesus, we'll just stay here, it's fine. There would have been a disobedience to the job that they've been given. So what happened? They go out and speak. Now, Pentecost is one of the three major festivals in the Jewish calendar. And the population of Jerusalem would have grown massively. I had some figures. Thousands of people would have come from across the world to visit. That's why we have a long list of peoples and countries and places named in the reading. And they're either God-fearing Jews or Gentiles sympathetic to Judaism. So they weren't all Jewish. They were beyond that. There was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles in that crowd. And we are told, when they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment. So they heard it too. They're totally confused. No idea whatsoever. They had no access to this idea of having it as a big wind. They were just bewildered. They heard a noise. Because each one of them heard their language, own language, being spoken. They'd really heard what happened in that disciple's room. They didn't really understand what was going on. And they were lost, completely bewildered. Literally, they were stopped in their tracks by it. And that bewilderment only increased when they heard the disciples speaking, declaring the wonders of God, it says. Utterly amazed, swept off their feet almost. And what was the immediate effect? Well, all of them, almost in union, had been filled with the Spirit. So my shirt's coming. I'm just going to pull my shirt out. There we go. It's going to be a pain otherwise. All of them were almost in union, being filled with the Spirit, and that Spirit had enabled them to speak in other tongues. It's an amazing thing. Now the question is, were the disciples speaking in tongues or other languages other than their own? What was going on? We could interpret different ways. Personally, I think tend to think there's two things going on, like a double miracle. The disciples were able to speak other languages, but also the people had been miraculously allowed by God to hear in foreign languages, their own languages as well. So there's two things going on. It's both the speaker and the listener is happening. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these people speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in their own language? And they ask, what does this mean? Utterly confused, no idea what's happening. They've heard the sound, they've heard the disciples and listened to them, no idea what's happening. And some joined go to the wrong conclusions. They've been drinking. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, so no, Peter says. And then Peter explains what's going on. And we read, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. It's far too early for that. And what he does is instead he points to the Old Testament. The giving of the Old Testament is something that's going to take place in the last days. In other words, the time between Jesus' ascension, which is 10 days earlier, and his coming again. This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven, it said earlier, will come back in the same way you've seen him going to heaven. It's that gap between the two. This is the last days, still. And then we need to take seriously what it says at the end of the prophecy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter is telling us that time is at the essence. The day of judgment that Jesus brings will come. We need to sort ourselves out and trust in him before that time comes. And then Peter goes on to say, God says, I will pour out my spirit on my people. And he doesn't discriminate in that pouring out. Got a wonderful diversity in that disciple. It's not just 11, it's like a whole bunch of people in that room. Young, old, male, female, servant, master, age, sex, status, all receive the Holy Spirit without barriers because all are believers. And the same with us. All the old barriers that existed have been taken away. So look at that crowd again. They came from all over the known world. They would have stopped from going into certain parts of the temple until that point, because unless they were complete Jews. No longer, says Peter. God has wiped away all the barriers, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit confirms that once and for all. What happens? If you go back to the Old Testament, into Genesis 11, you've got the Tower of Babel. And what happens is God confuses the languages, other languages, because they're trying to build that that place, make a name for themselves, it says. God confused their language and scatters them over the earth. But now, with the coming of the Spirit, God is reversing the effects of Babel and the outworking of our sin. The price of our sin has been paid by Jesus. The confusing of languages has been ended, reversed. Instead of being scattered, all the peoples have been brought together as one people, calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's complete opposite, complete contrast. There is something both unique and common about Pentecost. It's the way in which God chose to enable the church to carry out its task of ministry, its mission to the world. And in case anyone was wondering whether there's anything special about those first witnesses, think again. Jesus chose a blundering fisherman who denied Jesus to be in the process of building his church. He chose a systematic murderer to take his gospel overseas. The disciples who'd scattered at the first moment of trouble in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they themselves were scattered across the world, taking the gospel out there. There's nothing special about them, and there's nothing special about us. We have the same fears, the same expectations, the same weaknesses of those disciples, and yet Jesus sends us out to be his witness here, Springfield, and beyond into our communities. But we can be encouraged that he doesn't leave us without any support. No, he gives that same powerful spirit that enabled the world to be turned upside down on that day and going forward. He gives the same earth-shattering good news message about Jesus to share. And that Jesus who says at the end of his life, before he went up to heaven, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We have that same job to do. And it includes making disciples here in Chelmsford. Amen. Let's just be quiet for a moment, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you. The day we trusted the Lord Jesus was the day we received the same Spirit that points to Him in His very nature. Thank you. He enables us to serve here in this church. He enables us to be witnesses to others to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. He prompts our hearts to speak the right words to say at the right time. And as we go out here, from here later, let us be inspired through Him to keep talking about Jesus and keep pointing to Him, just as the Spirit does. I mean, we say this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is stand and sing. So what we're going to do first of all is we're going to say the creed through a song, and then we'll stay standing to sit and keep singing, which will take us into our prayers. So would you like to stand and sing the creed together?